The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and Sam Turner in the studio. Hopefully we'll have racing from Aaron Catrick, but both of those meetings subject to 8am inspections on Wednesday morning. We also have all-weather action at Lingfield in the afternoon and on the poly track at Kempton in the evening. So hopefully plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Rory DeLaghi. How are you, Rory?
Good morning. I'm not too bad, Mark.
Good man. Plenty to talk about, really, before we get stuck into Wednesday's action, Rory. Notably, the front page story on the Racing Post has recorded this on Tuesday, and that's that Champions Weekend could be scrapped after just 1 year. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, it's interesting the angle that the Post take on it. The press release came out yesterday, and a statement from the BHA and from Newmarket Racecourses about the future of Champions Weekend and future champions particularly, and they were trying to put a positive spin on it, but the Racing Post headline is all doom and gloom. It didn't work in its slot, particularly with Newmarket not really attracting the visitors it might. The crowds at Newmarket have seen over the last few years have been disappointing on the whole. And a Friday at Newmarket, a race card with two-year-old-only races at a mile or less, doesn't really appeal to the general public. And, of course, although it's meant to tie in with Champions Day, it's a very different theme altogether. And also, you do have this issue about where top two-year-old races are positioned, and it works to a degree on Arc Weekend, but of course they're not all put together there. You've got 2 days at Longchamp, and you also have supporting group races before that as well. And the idea of putting most of the big two-year-old group races on the same card just hasn't gelled so far. Moving the middle park is clearly very important. There are certain races that it's absolutely fine to run the same day, but you do have an issue with horses potentially being aimed historically at more than one of those races, although there haven't been a huge number of runners, say, in the middle park in Dewhurst over the years. It is a possibility, and clearly they're taking steps to try to bolster that meeting. And also, you want to have a scenario where you can have horses prepped for, say, the Jean-Luc Lagardère by being able to run in the middle park beforehand, which it didn't really work in the old scenario. So we don't know how it's going to sit next year. There's still the potential talks between the BHA and Newmarket, and they still need to work out exactly how they want that to work. But at the moment, it was a nice idea on paper. It tied in with Champions Day itself, which does work fundamentally. I know it hasn't had universal acceptance, but on the whole, that works. But future Champions Day is still rather shaky, and it needs work.
Okay. There are a few changes to the pattern races in 2015. Races upgraded in Britain and Ireland are the Dahlia Stakes, which is now a Group 2, as is the Landwade Stud Stakes. The Curragh Stakes is now a Group 3 from Listed, and the Zetland Stakes returns to a Listed race as well. A couple downgraded, though. The Braveheart Handicap at Hamilton is no longer listed, and the Tattersalls Gold Cup is no longer going to be a Group 1 either. I mean, that was won by Noble Mission last year, wasn't it? I thought it was quite a good race, but...
Yes, it's a little surprising that, but of course the criteria for upgrading or downgrading pattern races is based on a rolling average of the ratings, the end-of-year ratings of horses who run in them. Yeah. I think they take the first three or first four, and obviously if you don't have the requisite number of runners, you have this default figure that goes in there as well. So as long as races are being upgraded or downgraded based on their ongoing quality, then we shouldn't really have any arguments. And as you see, it can go up as well as down. You do get some slightly strange ones. Talking about the jumps pattern, for example, the Mare's Hurdle at Cheltenham is a Grade 1.
Yeah.
Absolutely no right to have that kind of status. But of course, because you had an outstanding mare in Kvega, winning on a regular basis. Her rating was through the roof.
Yeah.
But those who were chasing her home were pretty ordinary, to be honest. And on the whole, it's a grade three at best.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The thing is that she was a grade one horse, a grade one mare, and everything else wasn't. So
yes.
But because she's been winning it, it's gone up. But yeah. The fact that it is a grade one now, and there's no Kvega to scare opponents away. So
well, hopefully it will become better quality. But the issue you have is you need to have. It's not like those mares. Those grade one mares have been going elsewhere.
Yeah.
Grade one mares are few and far between. Those who are good tend to be exceptionally good. And then those in behind that, you know, there isn't the strength in numbers, to be honest, to fill that. But it'd be interesting to see how competitive the race is. Behind Kvega, I mean, she didn't always cruise through the race and win as easily as she might have.
No.
She always had a tendency to come off the bridle briefly. And the race, if you watch the last four or five renewals and look at the second last hurdle, there tends to be a host of horses with some sort of chance at that stage. So it could be a very exciting race this year. And of course, that rather depends on what Annie Parr does, because Annie Parr potentially even better than Kvega. So we'll see if she recovers in time to go to Cheltenham and if she takes that race in.
Okay. Bit of the news, really. I mean, we'll just take a look ahead to the weekend, because there's some good stuff coming up at Cheltenham, obviously, and around the country. And we'll start with the Skybet Chase. Paul Nichols has halved his team. He's got Easterday and Coward's Close now in the lineup, and both prominent in the betting, really. Easterday is 6-1, 8-1 for If in Doubt. Medami is 10s, 11s for Royal Player. Coward's Close is 12s with Knight in Milan. Present View, another one at 12-1, and 14s or bigger prices for the others. Do you have an opinion in the race at the moment?
No, not at the moment. There are too many runners still in there, and very few. I think Easterday is about the only horse that's actually jocked up in the contest. Nick Schofield's on board him, but at the moment you've still got 20 plus runners in there. Actually, Nick Schofield's jocked up on both the Nichols runners at this stage. So whichever one turns out will be ridden by Nick Schofield, it appears. But it's not an easy race to get a handle on at the moment, and I'll have a closer look at that on Thursday afternoon or Friday.
Okay, well that's the big race at Doncaster this weekend. We've also got Cheltenham Trials Day coming up, and we could see a couple of Gold Cup contenders in action as well. Many Clouds and Holywell both set to test their credentials, although in different races. Many Clouds is going to go for the Cotswold Chase, and Holywell going over hurdles. He's going to run in the Cleve Hurdle by the looks. Well, he's entered in the Cleve Hurdle. Well, what do you make of that?
Well, we did see a rather surprised Cleve winner a couple of years ago in the shape of Tidal Bay. It was 3 years ago now, isn't it? Who had entries in both those races and went for the hurdle race instead of the chase, and surprised a few people by bouncing back to form. That was towards the end of his time with Howard Johnson. And it's an interesting one. Holywell, of course, the course and distance winner. He won the Pretemps final over the same course and distance a couple of years ago. So he's no stranger to that. He'll be trying to get back on track. His jumping wasn't impressive, to say the least, at Aintree in his most recent start. The yard was out of form at the time. And John Joe will be looking for a way in for him without giving him too hard a race.
Yep.
And given the going with frost and sleet and snow and all the rest of it forecast for the weekend, it could be very testing, and that wouldn't really suit Holywell. He's shown in the past that he's a spring horse.
Yeah.
His form has improved markedly at Cheltenham in the last 2 years, and I'd expect the same to happen here. So he doesn't look a major player for me in the Cleve, and whatever he does on Saturday, you expect him to improve markedly on when he turns up again in March.
Yeah, the betting for the Cleve, headed by Safir de Ruhr, who's obviously an interesting contender now back over hurdles. He's 5-2, 9-2 for At Fisher's Cross and beat that, 7-1 for Briar Hill and Holywell and Rev de Sivler and Untempt's Pot 2, and 8-1 for Cole Harden and Black Lion, and the rest are all 12-1 and bigger. So.
Yeah, it's interesting to see Black Lion in there.
Mm.
He also has an entry in the staying novice hurdle on the card as well, and I'd have thought he'd go the novice route, to be honest. He was outpointed in the Challow last time out, but looks a thorough stayer, and he's on course for the Albert Bartlett. If the Cleve cuts up, he's a possibility there, but I would have thought it would make more sense for him to go the traditional route. At Fisher's Cross, who of course won that novice hurdle, beating the new one a couple of seasons ago, there was a chase career mooted for him after he was beaten on his seasonal reappearance. He's a horse who tends to need two or three runs to get to his best, because he's got all sorts of physical problems that tend to manifest themselves when he's not 100% fit. He will get better by the run, and I think he's one of the more interesting runners there. He still, I see, was tipped up by Tom Siegel in the Racing Post for the World Hurdle, and certainly if you could have got 25-1 about him for that race a week or so ago, it would be very interesting. He does have a bit to prove after a couple of defeats this season, but he started last season in much the same way and ran a cracker in the World Hurdle itself, so he's an interesting one there. Again, probably better come March, but worth keeping an eye on. And the Cotswolds chase, the Argento, as it was at one stage, now the Betbright Cup, has been reopened because of a lack of numbers. But I think we've got the re-entries for that race, which would see Mini Clouds carrying 11 stone 10 along with Dynast. Jan Bolster runs again. Of course, he won the race last year when they tried him in a combination of headgear. Holywell's in that as well, by the way. So although he has an entry in the Cleve, John Joe's put him in this again when it reopened. I don't know if he's in it in the first place. Obviously, we didn't see
the. I don't think he was in the first place.
Yeah, but with a small field, you know, it may end up being a soft enough option as well. I thought Smart Place was interesting. He gets whipped from them all, only 11 stone 2. Second in the RSA last year. I thought he performed with great credit and needed the run in the Hennessy. Alan King held his hands up afterwards, thought the horse was really well handicapped, so wanted to go straight away to the Hennessy, and then admitted afterwards that on very bad ground in a race as tough as that, he needed a run. He's got it to do an official rating. He's only rated 153, but you get the impression he hasn't been able to show exactly what he can do yet. He'd be a similar horse, a better horse last year officially than Mini Clouds. Mini Clouds has shown that last year's novices were better than they looked at the time, and Smart Place, in receipt of weight, might just be the one to win that race.
Yeah, I've followed Smart Place since just before the RSA last year. He's one that I really wanted to follow this year, and I think he ran with credit in the Hennessy to say he'd not had a prep run and the ground was too testing. He had quite a lot of weight in the race as well, so
yeah.
So, yeah, interested in him. One more story just to quickly touch on before we move on to Wednesday's action, and that's the Triumph Hurdle Trial, where Simon Meunier's got a couple in there. He's obviously got an abundance of good juveniles this year. Peace & Co is the main aim at the race, but they're also going to have Bristol Demai in there as a substitute should anything go wrong. So probably be careful with that, maybe.
To be honest, the pair look the outstanding juveniles that we've seen this season. Peace & Co was enormously impressive, despite pulling quite hard on his debut at Doncaster. And he did that. He won that race in a remarkable time. Didn't really come off the bridle. His jumping was exceptional. Very, very quick. The notion, if you read the race report, was that he got better as the race went on, which suggested he was a bit sticky in the first place. In the early stage of the race, he was actually under restraints, but he was still, if you look at him from one side of the hurdle to another, he was very quick. He wasn't allowed to make a nice shape because he was being restrained.
Yeah.
When he was given his head, he looked even better. There is the possibility that he might end up being at his very best on a flattish track, where he's allowed to use that jumping, whereas Cheltenham, you just need to be a little bit more restrained in the way you go about things. But Bristol Demai, similarly, he looks a horse who will jump a fence in time. Mm. Lovely big horse, very athletic, and his jumping was also very bold and very accurate when he won on his UK debut for Nigel Twist and Davis at Chepstow. And that looked an exceptionally strong race in terms of its depth. So it's an embarrassment of riches for Simon Meunier and Isaac Swed.
Yep.
Those horses in different yards, of course. You get the impression that Nigel Twiston Davis doesn't like missing an opportunity at Cheltenham. He'd be very keen to run Bristol Demai, but we'll see what happens on the day.
Okay. Anything else caught your eye, or should we move on to Wednesday's action?
Let's crack on to Wednesday.
Let's do so. Okay, we'll get Rory's thoughts on three of the races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, then on to Wednesday. The weather, once again, playing havoc with the fixtures. So we're going to play it safe and go for three all-weather races, starting in the 2:30 at Lingfield, which is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs for four-year-olds and older. We have 8 of them in the lineup here. Rory, which ones do you like?
There's an outstanding contender in this. I'm not sure you're going to get much of a price about him, but I would have thought anything evens or bigger looks well worth taking about Mr. Bossy Boots for Rafe Beckett and Adam Kirby. Kirby yet to ride the horse, but as we've seen in the last few weeks, he has no peers on the all-weather, an exceptional rider around Lingfield. And Mr. Bossy Boots has won 2 of his 4 starts. His only poor run came in turf, but he won over course and distance on his debut, despite looking slightly in need of the run and being slowly away. He then improved again to win a handicap at Wolverhampton in August, and did that very impressively. and probably improved on that form when third there after a break in December. Now, he was a little bit too fresh that day, was free towards the head of affairs, but kept on well to retain a place. Gave the impression that with that freshness out of him, with the benefit of a run, he would do even better. And I think he'd step up markedly on that. He was running off 81 last time out. The two who beat him that day have both won their next starts. That was Rich Again and Chiron.
Yep.
So he looks ridiculously well handicapped off the same mark, in my opinion, given that you got the impression that day that he might well beat the front two if they met again. The first four that day had all won their previous start as well. So very strong form for the time of year. He's against exposed rivals tomorrow, and he looks an absolute standout. You may end up taking odds on about him, but I would suspect that when the early odds go up, he might be 11-8, 6-4. I don't think that'll last, and I think it looks a gift.
Okay. Strong opinion then. Mr. Bossy Boots in the 2:30 at Lingfield. The 6 o'clock at Kempton is where we go next. This is a Class 6 handicap over a mile and a half. Again, this one's for 4-year-olds and older. 11 of them in the lineup here. And down at the bottom of the weights there, Moulin Rouge receiving weight from the rest of the field and arrives here in pretty good form as well. 1-2 of her last three. Is it a filly? Yeah, it's a filly.
She is, yeah. From the Ian Williams yard. She's been winning pretty moderate events. One on the Tappet at Wolverhampton, then one over a mile and a quarter at Lingfield. So either surface is absolutely fine for her. But she does step up in class here.
Yeah.
This looks a much tougher contest. And I do think she'll need to improve again to win this. Preference for me is for one who's been hitting the bar recently and gradually climbing the weights. That's Crown Pleasure. Lightly raced for a four-year-old. She's by a speed influence in Royal Applause, but she's a half-sister to Mile and a Half winner, and she's given a strong indication on her last three runs over the extended 9 furlongs at Wolverhampton that she needs a longer trip. She's finished a good effect on each of her last four runs, and she's well worth a step up to Mile and a Half again. She tried a mile and a quarter earlier in her career and was too free and possibly not right in herself. She stopped quickly. I don't think that was a stamina issue. And everything about her suggests that she does want this step up and trip. Poorly placed when the race began in earnest at Wolverhampton last time, only finished fifth. But she again was finishing best of those from the rear of the field. That's been the case in her last three starts. And in a well-run race at a mile and a half here at Kempton, it's a 0-60, it's a moderate contest. She's rated 60, but looks worth a step up in class anyway. So this is probably her last chance to run on this grade, and I expect the step up and trip to see her improve a little bit. And to be honest, she's looked unlucky not to win on at least one of her last three starts, and this is a great chance for her.
Okay, Crown Pleasure then in the 6 o'clock. And the final race we're going to look at is the 6:30. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. This one's for the 3-year-olds and a couple of inform runners in the shape of Blue Aegean and Harry Hurricane. We've also got Volunteer Point in there who could be anything after winning on debut. An interesting race, this one.
It is an interesting race. I'm hoping that Blue Aegean's going to be a short price. She was an impressive winner last time out at Chelmsford City. On the opening day of that track. She'd shown decent form. She won a maiden at Nottingham before going to Royal Ascot, but her form tailed off after her first couple of runs in the spring. And the chances are that she might just be best fresh. So she was strongly fancied coming back off a break with a hood fitted last time and duly hacked up in a moderate contest. If she continues that revival, then she'd be very interesting indeed, given that they thought she might be a group filly early in her career. But I'm concerned about her turned out reasonably quickly, given the pattern of her form last spring. And I think there might be something to beat her. I'm hoping she is a short price, given how well the Godolphin horses are running, and Adam Kirby again rides, and everything he's ridden in the last couple of weeks has been well backed anyway. So
yeah,
if she's a short price, it might give us a bit of value elsewhere. You've mentioned Harry Hurricane, who improved to win at Wolverhampton last time out. His form's not quite so strong elsewhere, but he might well be going the right way, and he's a danger. But there's the two that I like in the race are Volunteer Point, who was a late drifter before winning on her debut, but she'd been very well backed in the morning, and there was I was working that day, and we had an email into the show saying that this was the horse that Mick Shannon had lined up for his stable lad's Christmas funds.
Right.
And she was well backed and duly delivered. But while it wasn't a great maiden she won, she gave the impression she was a lot better than the bare result. She just looked a bit green under pressure in the first place, travelled well, didn't really know what to do when Charlie Bishop asked her initially to pick up, hung a little bit under pressure. But once she got the idea, she picked up very well and won with a fair bit to spare. Only about 3/4 of a length in the end from Dutch Golden Age. And a few of those behind were very, very moderate. But the time was okay. And the impression she gave is that there was a lot more to come. And again, if she was fancied to win first time out from that yard, you get the impression they thought they had something to work on rather than she was going to be very buzzed up for debut. Mm. So there should be improvement to come from her. The handicapper hasn't had an awful lot other than the bare form to work on. And I think there's a good chance she's better than the bare form. So she's the main tip for me in the race. But I was also quite interested in Galago at the bottom, a horse who ran very well in a Newbury Maiden in August, beating one or two well-fancy types and finishing third when unfancied. Couldn't back that up when fancied in his next couple of starts, but got back on track early this month at Wolverhampton, trying handicap for the first time off a mark of 65. Ran on well to finish third of 13, despite, again, showing a tendency to hang under pressure. That tendency is a little bit worrying in the long term, but that was his best effort to date. It shows that he's ready to go on. And I thought it was very interesting that Sylvester Kirk, who trains him, has him mentioned up at Lingfield on Friday and Saturday. And it's always interesting with an improving three-year-old when a trainer has multiple entries, suggesting that he wants to take advantage of any opportunities that come along in the short term. So reading between the lines suggests that Galago may well be well handicapped, even though he's a pound out of the weights. So he's a little bit harder to fancy, but he may be a decent price here. And I think there's a fair bit of upside to him. So he's the danger, but Volunteer Point will be the main selection.
Okay, good stuff, Rory. Let's have a quick summary. If you'll spin us through your thoughts for Wednesday one more time.
2:30 at Lingfield. I'm very sweet on Mr. Bossy Boots. In the 6 o'clock at Kempton, Crown Pleasure should make up for a couple of near misses recently. And in the 6:30, I'm hoping that you get a decent price about Volunteer Point to maintain her unbeaten record.
Fantastic. Good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
So there you go. The thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and Sam Turner will be the team in the studio. We have this meeting, these two meetings, Lingfield and Kempton. We'll also hopefully have racing over the obstacles at Ayr and Catterick. Tune in for all that. Plenty to look forward to, and thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. Enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.